And Lord, help us to commence our week evening of service by singing hymn number 1083, 30 in Richmond, 212. Hymn number 1083. My God, my Father, blissful name, O may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. This only can my fears control and bid my sorrows fly. What harm can ever reach my soul beneath my Father's eye? Hymn number 1083, 30 in Richmond, 212.
Thank you. May the Lord help us, dear friends, this evening from our reading of the Word of God. We turn to Jonah and we read chapter 1 and 3 and 4. The first, third and fourth chapters in Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. That Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out into the city and sat on the east side of the city. And there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. It came to pass when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the good?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the good for which thou hast not laboured, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 70,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Well, may the Lord own and bless the word that we have read now. And may the Lord engage our heart in prayer. O Lord, our sovereign and eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, thou who hast maintained us in our lot, thou who hast spared our lives, thou who hast kept alive our own soul, thou, O Lord, who hast brought us now into the sanctuary of God, for the midweek service. O Lord, may the service be a means of grace and favour and blessing unto us each as we are met together in person, being able to present our bodies before thee in this way which is acceptable, Lord, unto thee. Furthermore, we would pray for those with us in spirit who are unable to be here in person, and that thou, Lord, wouldest remember them. And those who may listen to the service on the chapel website, Lord, thou art able to use whatever means thou dost see fit to bless thy waiting people. And so, Lord, we do thank Thee for every grace and every favour bestowed upon us, for the royal bounty of Thy good providence, for health and strength sufficient, enabling us to come up to Thine earthly courts here this night. And we do pray for grace and strength whereby we may serve Thee acceptably, with reverence and with godly fear. O Lord, Thou art worthy to be praised, for Thou art the only living and true God, and there is none else. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, God blessed forevermore. We pray, dear Lord, that Thou wilt favour us with Thy divine presence. May our meeting this evening not be in vain, but may Thy word be accomplished according to Thy will in the exercised hearts and minds and spirits of those present before Thee. For Thou knowest, Lord, the pathway and the responsibilities and labours of each one, and how, Lord, Thy people come seeking for a word from the Lord as a token of Thy favour, a manifestation of Thy love toward them, and to further the kingdom of Thy grace in Zion, the Church of the Living God, and in our own hearts, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Do come over, Lord, our felt infirmities and weaknesses. Oh, the infirmities that hinder. Oh, Lord, like those three favoured disciples in Gethsemane, they could not keep awake. They fell asleep. And, Lord, Thou knowest how Thy dear people have their infirmities that hinder in our desire to worship. We trust, Lord, that we each have a willing spirit, but our flesh is so weak. Lord, do favour us then with the divine power, dew and unction of Thy Holy Spirit. Then, Lord, we shall be enabled to serve and honour Thee aright, to glorify Thy great and holy name, for all Thy mercies and all Thy truth's sake. We thank Thee, Lord, for the written and the incarnate Word, and pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt favour us with the presence of Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. We pray that we might be drawn by the Father to the Son, that we may have revealed to us the Father and the Son by thy Holy Spirit. O, the eternal deity of the glorious Trinity of persons in oneness. O Lord, we need divine revelation, divine understanding, divine faith to receive, believe, and love the glorious, holy, eternal doctrine of the deity of the Godhead. And Lord, we pray that the sacred doctrines of grace may be made more precious to us, and that we might be led more into them in our spiritual experience, that we might be graciously mature and steadfast in the things of God, and become unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as not as much as we know that our labour is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, may there be that manifestation of spiritual profit following the preaching of the gospel ordained of thee, O Lord, to be declared in Zion and to the utmost bounds of the earth. Do help me, Lord, this night to speak in thy great and holy name. Be with all thy ministering servants who labour in word and doctrine and faith and practice. Lord, it is a great labour, but oh, may there be divine profit, divine honour and glory in the building up of thy one true church. We pray for our dear friend, thy dear servant, Lord, here. Oh, be with him as he goes in and out amongst the churches up and down this land, that thou wouldest be at his right hand to defend him from the adversary of souls. And may his hands be made strong by the mighty God of Jacob, and that he might go forth and declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. O Lord, do remember all who minister on the walls of Zion. Lord, the continuance of the exercise, the continuance of the public declaration. Lord, we need thee. For without thee, Lord, we could never continue. But our continuance, Lord, is of thee, for thou art the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember thy cause and interest here, O Lord, thy cause here at Maidstone. Oh, we thank thee for maintaining and upholding thy cause and interest here, and pray that thou wilt go before them, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, as thou didst lead thy ancient people through the wilderness. O lead us forth by thy mighty power. Lead us forth in that right way. And may thy word preached here, Lord, be a means of divine teaching, divine instruction, divine edification, and the establishment in the truth and that sweet and blessed hope of their own personal interest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We do pray that thou wilt bring in others from this county town in Kent. Oh, much people, Lord, live in this town. Oh, that thou wouldest bring in, Lord, a few others into this house of God. Oh, Lord, thou seest the pews that are empty. Only thou canst fill them, Lord. Fill them in measure. Fill them fully. The work is thine and thine alone. Oh, remember Zion, Lord, as she languisheth and is brought low through affliction, oppression. O Lord, build thou the walls of Jerusalem, and remember thy dear people in their low estate. Be with our dear friend, Lord Raymond, in his responsibility here, and the matters, Lord, of necessity that have to be attended to. And be with him also in his responsibility on the Bethesda Committee and the weighty concern there as well. Oh, how we need, Lord, and thy people need much wisdom and grace and understanding in the day in which we live, to conduct all our matters and all our concerns and all our responsibilities in the fear of the Lord. And so remember, Lord, all thy dear people, the small and the great, the young and the old, the children, the parents, the grandparents, the different generations, the different needs, the different circumstances. But Lord, thou art able to meet every case. And so we do pray for all who are brought into this sanctuary, and the dear children on the Lord's Day. O Lord, thou didst take that dear child up in thine arms, and bless that child, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Give us, Lord, that childlike simplicity, that childlike humility. May we each be dear children of God. And now, Lord, do remember thy people in their tribulations throughout Zion. all those in affliction and trial and difficulty and perplexity. O Lord, the varied and diverse tribulations that thy people are in, thou art well acquainted with. And we do pray that thou wilt suit thy mercies to every case, and grant that each of us may know the all-sufficiency of thy grace and thy strength, that thine ancient promise may be fulfilled, that as thy days, so shall our strength be. And so, Lord, do remember thy dear people, and those that we are affiliated with in the bonds of the gospel in this land, and those also overseas, those churches, Lord, and those, now just the one resident minister in the United States of America. O Lord, do we pray thee appear for them there in America and in Canada and Australia, Lord, that they may have the preaching of the gospel which thou hast ordained to be proclaimed in Zion. But Lord, thou knowest all these things, and we pray that thou wilt rend the heavens and come down, that all these seeming mountains of impossibility might flow down at thy presence. We pray, Lord, for our nation, the government, our King, the national church. O Lord, may thy grace, Lord, be granted to them, that they may conduct their office, realizing their accountability to God as good stewards. Oh, that we could see, Lord, the government desiring to act according to the scriptures, and the national church. May the King, Lord, submit to that oath that he gave. O Lord, do remember this nation, the nations of the earth. May those wars cease, Lord, where there are those troubled areas and grievous warfare and all the horrors of war. Lord, do appear. We would thank thee, Lord, for the peace and quietness that we enjoy, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in the fear of the Lord. Now, Lord, do help us as we further wait upon thee in the declaration of thy word. Be unto us all that we need. Bless the singing of the sacred hymns. Be with us unitedly as the heart of one man. Be with us individually in our personal pathway, decreed, Lord, by thee, one in one way and one in another. Nevertheless, may we each prove the faithfulness of our gracious God. Do hear us, O Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, do make up in giving where I fail. Remember our dear aged sister Beryl. Be with her, Lord, in her home. Be with her as she labours under affliction. May she have a gracious God-given recompense in her soul for the tribulations of this life. We ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
May the Lord help us in further. Sing hymn number 619 to the tune Judah 475. Hymn number 619. Creatures are but vain at best, in them is no solid rest. All the world calls good or great, cannot perfect bliss create. Souls renewed by grace divine, carnal pleasures will resign. Holiness without a stain, they are thirsting to obtain. Hymn number 619 to the tune Judah 475.
as the Lord shall be pleased to help me this evening. Dear friends, I would ask your prayerful and loving attention from the from Jonah chapter 3, and we read verses 9 and 10. Jonah chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they returned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. Well, the account of Jonah, as recorded in the Word of God over the years by unbelievers, has been spoken of. They just call it a myth. They do not believe it. And certain scholars, religious scholars, have decreed that it was just spoken by way of parable and didn't really take place, the fact that he was swallowed up by a great fish and was in the fish's belly for 3 days and three nights. Well, we know that it is the truth of eternal God, and Jesus Christ bore witness to this, and he said, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. So that's the testimony of Jesus Christ concerning what took place. A sacred, blessed testimony from the lips of Jesus Christ. And so, friends, we embrace the sacred truth that is contained within this prophecy. And friends, what a wonderful, a wonderful prophecy it is for poor guilty sinners. Indeed it is. God said that he would overthrow Nineveh. Now Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And the king of Assyria was one of the kings of Sennacherib. And he was an ungodly man. He worshipped Nisroch in the temple in Nineveh. And he had no regard for the people of God. He gained many victories over other heathen lands. And yet he had his eye on Judah. That was the kingdom that he wanted. And why was that? He came against it in Hezekiah's day. But he didn't gain a victory. The Lord sent him back the way he came, with a hook in his nose. So sent him back. And there he was destroyed by his two sons in his idol house, where he worshipped an idol god. And so, dear friends, this is why Sennacherib wanted Judah, because Through that tribe would come the birth of Christ. That's why he wanted Judah. But friends, God would never permit it. Never allow it. And although he caused much grief and sorrow to Hezekiah and those in the kingdom, yet, you see, he was overthrown. And friends, there are many attempts that have been made since concerning Judah, concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. When the dear Redeemer was born, Herod was there, and he said he wanted to go and worship him. But friends, he didn't want to worship the Lord, he wanted to destroy him. And the Church of God has been subject to attack all through the generations. Why? Well, because the Lord reigns in Zion. And this is why sin and Satan are trying to overthrow the kingdom of God's Christ. But they never will, because King Jesus reigns in Zion's hill as king. And King Sennacherib or any other heathen king will never overpower and overthrow the Church of God. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So Jonah was given a commission from God. And what was it? Well, we read of it this evening, didn't we? The Lord said to him, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Came unto him, the word of the Lord. Friends, does the word of the Lord come unto us? The written and the incarnate word, we hear it with a natural ear, but is it received into our heart as the word of God, that we yield obedience to it and desire to walk in it? Now, he was commissioned to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. You see, dear friends, Nineveh, Asher, Babylon, all proceeded from Ham, the son of Noah. And we see there that the Lord spake very solemnly, because Ham acted in an ungracious and ungodly way compared to his two brothers, Shem and Japheth. Oh friends, what divine teaching there is and instruction for us in the word of God. And sometimes, dear friends, you may have felt, I have felt, when I've remained silent I should have spoken, or when I've spoken I then thought I should have remained quiet, or you see, to cover the shame of their father's nakedness. When the Lord blessed Shem and Japheth, but Ham, the father of Canaan, was a servant to them. So, go to Nineveh. It's a great city. There's wickedness in it. Now, the amazing thing is that in this city were more than 120,000 souls who were living in ignorance and sin. They didn't know the difference between their left hand and right hand. And friends, I view that spiritually as being in complete ignorance of God. A man by nature is ignorant. And remember, they were heathen. They were ungodly. They were worshipping an idol. And idolatry leads to open sin. Violence and wickedness was in that place. And yet, God would display the wonder of his grace in an amazing way. perhaps in a greater way than been known before or been known since, with regard to the number that the Lord brought to a saving knowledge and spared them. And they will rise up at the end of time, will these men in Nineveh, and they will condemn the present generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And yet the further generations and the present generation have a greater than Jonah. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is greater than Jonah. And Jesus Christ sets before us the truth. And friends, what is the effect upon us? What effect of the preaching of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life upon us? And so, the Lord spake through the ministry of Jonah. He was disobedient the first time, and the Lord dealt with him under divine chastening because the Lord loved him. And whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so he passed through depths in his soul that he never forgot and never could forget. And yet, you see, in that, it sets before us the path that Christ walked. Now Jonah suffered for his own sin. All thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. Jesus Christ suffered for the sins of the whole church of God, and the floods of divine wrath went over Christ due to the sufferings that he endured. Was that hymn 536, through awful floods, he's passed and died. That was the floods of divine wrath, dear to the sins of the whole church of God. You and I, friends, will suffer for our sin. If we're the Lord's people, he has chosen us. And like dear Jonah, he passed through depths in his soul he'd never known before. But Christ passed through depths that we shall never know on the face of this earth. No, we believe the written word, but we can't enter into it. It's revealed to us in some measure. We have a sympathetic heart to the dear Redeemer. We love him for the truth's sake. But it'll take eternity to fully comprehend and know and understand the wonders of redeeming love and grace. So Jonah there, the word of the Lord came unto him the second time. Oh friends, he wasn't disobedient then, was he? No, he went. And what did he preach? Because he was bid, preach the preaching that I bid thee. Now what was it? Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's what he stated, that's what he preached, that's what he said. God had told him to say it, because God would destroy that city, Nineveh, due to their sin, unless they were brought to repentance through the preaching of Jonah. And friends, we live in a gospel day. This world will be overthrown. It has been already by a flood. God drowned the world with a flood. Why? Because of man's sin, because of violence and corruption. It repented me, the Lord said, that I have made man on the earth, and I will destroy him. But Now I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, friends, there's the blessed secret. Now, here, Nineveh's going to be overthrown. But they were brought to repentance through the preaching of Jonah. And God stayed his hand from destroying them. And that ministry was used of God to spare 120,000 souls just over. Now I know Nineveh was literally destroyed something in the order of 200 years after this, through the ministry and the prophecy of Nahum. I realise that. But these souls here are a wonderful demonstration of the mercy of God to poor, guilty, hell-deserving sinners. And friends, God magnified his grace and his love through the preaching of Jonah. Now the preaching today, friends, the gospel still preached, the prophecies are still preached, the New Testament is preached, Christ is preached, there's going to be an end of this world. The end is coming, and friends, we don't know when it'll be. We know not, it'll come as a thief in the night. As a thief in the night, the second coming will be known. Friends, it's ours to watch and wait and pray. Now, it's a day of grace. The gospel day is a day of grace. The Lord has said he would overthrow and destroy this world by fire. But it hasn't taken place. For these dear people will be brought to repentance. They may at this stage, this moment, be living in sin, an unregenerate state. But the day will come when they hear the gospel. They'll hear the preaching of the word of God and they'll be brought to repentance. Like they were in Nineveh. Oh friends, what an amazing case it is. Perhaps we do not fully comprehend the wonder of it, of God's wonderful grace. One sermon preached by Jonah, and look at the result, under the blessing of God. Friends, we look at our poor preaching today, all the sermons that have been preached. Where's the prophet? Where's the prophet? Has one soul been brought to repentance? Has one soul been pardoned and forgiven under our ministry? And here, friends, is 120,000. One sermon preached. The effect upon them. From the king down to all the subjects in Nineveh. Oh, friends, the word was proclaimed with divine power. Well, it was attended with divine power. And you see, the people of Nineveh believed God. That's the wonder of it, friends. They were idolaters. But when this dear man Jonah preached, they believed God. They believed what he said. And what did he say? In 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Oh, friends, death and destruction had been set before them. It was coming in 40 days, they'd be overthrown. What a solemn word it was. And yet God had purposes of amazing grace, that they would be brought to repentance. Now there are several scriptures, friends,
that I would bring before you two in particular with regard to us today, because there is an application for us today in this land. Indeed there is. Peter says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then Peter speaks of the end of time. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We are told, friends, and God, you see, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now I said there was two scriptures I wanted to refer to, and the other one's in the Hebrews. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. This is God. He's spoken. And friends, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Don't refuse the word of God, friends. No. They didn't refuse what Jonah said. They believed it. And the Lord used it as a means. And what a means it was. And so, the king and all these nobles, you see, fasting, prayer and fasting, cry mightily unto God, and turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. Well, friends, it's the same today, isn't it, in the land? Evil ways, violence. Well, it's the same today, friends, isn't it? It was the same before the flood. This is why God destroyed the earth, because of violence and corruption. Corruption first, and that leads to violence. And here you see the evil way, and that brings violence. And friends, God would destroy this place and these people, but they were brought to repentance. That's the wonder, friends. Oh, and you see Christ Jesus spake to his apostles concerning this, and to preach repentance and remission of sins. This is what needs to be preached, friends. And the Lord Jesus is risen and exalted, a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance unto Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now, that clearly shows to us that man by nature cannot come to repentance. It's impossible. Repentance is a gift from God. God giveth repentance. And God gave repentance to those in Nineveh. Friends, has he given repentance to you? Were you never brought to repentance? Did the Lord show to you your sin, your iniquity, your transgression, your breaking of the law, and all the threatenings of the law under condemnation and the curse? What could you do? Cry for mercy, repent in dust and ashes. Not literally, perhaps, but in spirit. Joel said, rend your heart and not your garment.
and turn to the Lord. This is repentance, friends. It's a turning from your evil way and following the good way. But only God can do it, friends. Men calling on men to repent, like they do sometimes in these religious meetings, calling on men to... Well, friend, only God can bring a man to repentance, to give repentance, God-given repentance. And then, friends, the axe is laid to the root. Indeed it is. And your beauty consumes away like a moth. Ah, the solemn dealings of God. But you see, this is the way the Lord works. He brings his people to repentance. Look at the poor publican. Ah, he rent his heart, didn't he? He smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, friends, did the Lord forgive him? Did he know forgiveness? Oh, indeed he did. The testimony of Jesus Christ was this. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The Pharisee wasn't justified. The publican was. There's the proof, friends, the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, this truth then. And then they had this, who can tell? Who can tell? They turned from their evil way. They left those ways of sin. They turned to God. They repented in dust and ashes and sackcloth. And then this was the language of their heart. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? Friends, was there never a day with you when you had a who can tell hope? A who can tell hope? You had any assurance of hope? Hope that is seen is not hope. For if a man seeth, why did he? Who can tell? The first hope or the first glimmer of light shining in your soul. Who can tell? This is the way the Lord works, friends. Indeed it is. If God will turn. Ah. Oh. Dear Hezekiah, when the Lord proclaimed all that would take place in his life, what did he do? He turned his face to the wall and cried unto the Lord. And that was a who can tell hope. Indeed it was. He hadn't been delivered, but he had a who can tell hope. He prayed unto the Lord. Who can tell? And then Isaiah came with the word of God to him. And so, friends, to have a who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. Now you may say, well, God repenting, what it means, dear friends, is this. As I said earlier, the judgment of God will fall, but those who are brought to repentance then will not receive that condemnation. The Lord will be merciful and gracious to them. Jeremiah speaks of this as well, if I can just light upon it and read exactly what is written. At what instant I will speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil. I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. So God's solemn declaration what he will do, but it's the 40 days grace. And if in that 40 days the Lord's work is commenced in their soul and they're brought to repentance, the Lord then grants pardon and forgiveness. Then, you see, the Lord will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. That's as I understand the interpretation from the Word of God. You have exactly the same in principle with the children of Israel when Moses was in the mount and Aaron was the foot and the people and they made the golden calf. And the Lord was wrath with them and said he would destroy them. These were his dear people. He'd taken them through the Red Sea and delivered them from their enemies, and there they were engaging in their sinful activity. God said, I'll destroy them, my wrath will wax hot against them. Now what took place? Moses intervened. Moses interceded. And he pleaded with the Lord, Lord, remember the covenant that thou didst give to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And on that covenant foundation, you see, to the people of God, God turned from his fierce anger and he didn't do what he said he would do. The pleading ground with the oath and promise of God. And friends, that's your oath, that's your hope in the oath and promise of God. I'll overthrow, but if you turn to repentance, you're brought to confession, you see, then you will be spared. And should not I spare Nineveh? God did. And so, friends, the word that Jesus proclaimed will be fulfilled at that great day. These men in Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this present generation, or with a following generation from this that is spoken here. Because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And this generation that the Lord Jesus was speaking of did not repent at his preaching, the preaching of Jesus Christ. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, we would see a sign from thee, Master. So you see, they continued in their way of sin and transgression. But the men of Nineveh here, oh friends, repented. And they will condemn those that did not repent. The Lord's dear people are brought to repentance, they're brought to confession of their sin, because sin is charged upon their conscience. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will convince of sin. Did the Lord never convince you of sin, friends? Your sin? Because, you see, God does not charge the sin of another upon your conscience. No. He only charges your sin upon your conscience. You never had the sin of another person charged to your conscience, friends, and you never will. You may have suffered as a result of other people's sins in suffering tribulation, but you've never felt the condemning sentence of it upon your own conscience. Never. God is faithful. He only lays to the charge your own sin. And that brings you to repentance, because you feel the weight of it, the burden of it. I have not known sin, the apostle says, but the law says thou shalt not covet. So it's through the law of God that one is brought to realise the weight and burden of their sin. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. This is why sinners can continue in sin, because they know nothing of the law. But when the law is applied to their conscience, then they know they're a sinner. And if they've offended in one point, they're guilty of all. We need repentance, because a repenting sinner will be brought to know the forgiving love of Christ. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. And friends, there are those in the scriptures that bear witness to this. I've mentioned the publican. What about the prodigal? Oh, friends, look at his life. Look what he did. Wasted his substance on riotous living. All his money was gone. Oh, friends, sin and Satan soon spend all the money. Then what's he going to do? He's in want. He's feeding the swine. I will arise and go to my Father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. There's repentance. There's confession. Was it accepted? Yes. Bring forth the best robe. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, kill the fatted calf. This my son was lost and is found, was dead and is alive again. You see, forgiveness followed the repentance. And so it did here, friends. Oh, the Lord, you see, turned from his anger that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Oh, friends, what a wonderful word for a poor, condemned, guilty sinner. He did it not. Oh, not despair, the hymn writer said. For who can tell? Who can tell? And so, you see, the Lord spared these souls in Nineveh. All that great number of souls were spared through one ministry, one sermon from Jonah. Friends, you see, the wonderful grace of God, the wonderful mercy of God, the wonderful long-suffering he would demonstrate in this amazing way. His grace, his goodness, his long-suffering. And friends, we live in a day of grace now. And all the abominations done in the land. But it's a day of grace. God has given that space to repent. We read in Revelations, was it concerning Jezebel? He gave her a space to repent, and she repented not. How solemn. How solemn. And God is gracious and long-suffering, and he gives a space to repent. And sinners are hardened in sin, and the day of grace means nothing to them. But friends, when they come to die, it will. What a solemn end it will be. But if we've been brought to true repentance, we shall know the forgiving love of Christ, the blessed testimony that he has given. Well, I must come to a close, friends. The time is gone. May we be amongst those whom the Lord will save with an everlasting salvation. Amen.
Lord, help us to conclude by singing hymn number 263 to the tune Jonathan 356. Hymn number 263. Jesus, the glorious Head of Grace, knows every saint's peculiar case, what sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. He knows how deep their groanings are, and what their secret sighs declare, and for their comfort has expressed that all such mourning souls are blessed. Hymn number 263 to the tune Jonathan, 356.
Thank you.
precious, sacred, holy word. And we thank thee for the hymn that we have now sung, so in keeping with the text. And may we each be mourners over our sin and after thee. Dismiss us with thy favour. Grant genuine mercies to us each. And may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the Father's love, the communion of thy Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.